This morning's scripture is from Zechariah 3, verses 1 through 10. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. It is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you." And then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him, while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. "This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. Listen, High Priest Joshua, you and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come, I am going to bring my servant, the branch. See, the stone I have set in front of Joshua, there are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. In that day, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit under your vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty." This is the reading of God's word.
Guilt. The weight of knowing something you did was wrong. The weight of recognizing it's not just a little no-no, but it affects something bigger. The weight of something on your shoulders that you can't just set aside, a sense of responsibility for what you've done and owning the implications of it. Guilt is no fun, and no one likes to feel guilty. And what that means is that some will then try to blame others in order to deal with it, or they'll try to just cover it up, and some will try to recast it and make it look different than what it really was. Some will try to justify it, and some will change the definition of what's wrong so it doesn't apply anymore. And all of that you find when you read the history of God's people and when we look at our world today. But God is quite clear. We will have to give account of our words, our thoughts, and deeds. But how do you deal with guilt? When you think of things that you've done and who you might have offended, how you've hurt people, what do you do with it? Even if you're the only one aware of it, how do you stand before God? We don't have time this morning to get into a lot of the context of this passage in Zechariah or all the details and nuances of it, but a few things are helpful to know. This is actually the fourth vision that Zechariah has as you read through the book. The people of God are returning from exile, and God has let them know, which you can read again in just the previous vision, God has let them know that he has chosen them. And he's bringing them back to the land, and that the heart of his desire is that he wants to live with them. That's what the previous three visions have been about. And in this fourth one, Zechariah moves to this matter of Israel's past. You can be back in the land, but what do you do with the problems that got you exiled in the first place? What do you do not just to get back in the land of God, but to get back in with God? So Joshua, and this is not the Joshua that we know from the book of Joshua, Joshua the high priest, who is someone different, Joshua stands there in this vision of Zechariah. And of course, as high priest, he's not just standing there in his own right. He stands there on behalf of and representing the people who need to find their way back to God. And two simple things happen. Two pictures, which, like the pictures of the sacraments that we celebrate this morning, tell us something about how we understand this, not just for Israel back then in Zechariah's time, but for us today. So you look at this vision and the scene that's in it. And Joshua is standing there before God, and to his right is Satan. Though it's actually not a name that we have here in the Hebrew, it's a noun. It's the Satan, or more literally, the accuser. And the role of the accuser is just that, to accuse. And to point out what is wrong and why Joshua and the people are not worthy of God, and to make sure that God is constantly aware of what the problems are, and that Joshua better keep that in mind as well, just like the people should. And it's not that the accuser would be wrong. The people of Israel had sinned. They had not loved God and had engaged in things that pushed God away, that separated them from God. And Joshua and the people didn't have a leg to stand on when it came to sin. So what do you do in the face of accusation when it's true? What do you do when, in honesty, you can't blame or cover or hide or adjust what God says separates us from him? So Joshua just stands there. And then God speaks up. And God rebukes the accuser. Not because Satan is wrong, but because the accuser has missed the point. God has plucked this burning stick from the fire. God wouldn't do that if God didn't see some purpose for Joshua and his people. And God rebukes the accuser. And I look at that, I who know the weight of guilt. I see this picture of Satan playing the role of pointing out what God's people have done wrong. Why they should still be in the fire, reminding God, as it were, of why God's people are not worthy and God ought to be looking somewhere else. And I look at that and recognize what the role of accusation can play in my life. Ways and times in which I don't even need an accuser because I know myself well enough to play that role in my own life, just like many of us, maybe even most of us can. And then God comes not because they deserve it or have earned it. God claims his people as his people simply because he loves them and has called them. And God calls for the accusation to stop because God has claimed his people, and that tells me something about God. And the second picture is of Joshua in filthy clothes. And the picture of dirty clothes here, as you find elsewhere in the Bible, represents the sin that we bear. But when you think of clothes with dirt stains and holes and burn marks, you also know that it's not simply a matter of doing the laundry. You can clean something like that, but you still have a ragged, stained robe, and there's nothing you can do about your robe if that's all you have. And then again, God comes and God doesn't simply point that out to Joshua. And God doesn't just cover over and hide the dirty clothes. God comes and removes the clothes because God has chosen his people. And in place of the dirty rags, God gives a new clean or white robe to Joshua. A new beginning. The clothes of belonging in spite of whatever has happened. A fresh white robe. You read about that elsewhere in Scripture. The white robe that, when Jesus talked of it, was what you needed to be a part of the wedding feast. The white robe in Revelation 19 that stands for righteousness for the one wearing it. A robe that doesn't belong to Joshua, but is one that God gives to Joshua. And the sin of the people is entirely taken away. No more accusation, no more evidence, as it were. It doesn't change the past, but it changes the present, and it changes the future. And as it did for Joshua then, it means that now in the robe of righteousness, we have direct access in the counsel of God to God himself. We are part of the scene with God because of the robe we now wear. Well, that's a little bit about the picture there, but then you can ask a question yet. So what happened to the filthy clothes that Joshua had been wearing? You know, then it's interesting to consider that Joshua actually is the Hebrew name for Jesus. And this vision in Zechariah 3 can take our mind to a scene of the New Testament high priest Joshua, Jesus, who also represents his people. Referred to here in the last verses that Aria read as the servant, the branch that would come. Only this time it's not a vision, it's real life that we see. And this Joshua had clean clothes, but his clothes were taken from him. And they are the ones that are given to the people of God. And you find this Joshua hanging on a cross, and the only clothes he wears are the filthy clothes, the sins of God's people. And he takes it to the grave in order to put sin to death. And this Joshua was not plucked from the fire. And that's what Jesus does. Not because we deserve it, not because we have earned it, not because we aren't guilty, but because in his love for us, he changes our reality. He moves the accuser out of the picture. And he declares that we are not who we used to be. And he puts on us a new robe. For those of us who know our sin and who know the work of the accuser, and who can be our own worst accuser as we live with guilt over things we've done or haven't done, we need to see what God is doing and what God is saying here. God, who doesn't cover things up but removes what needs to be removed. Who doesn't leave us naked but clothes us in Christ and tells us we are his. And the past is gone. You see, that's what this is about. And that's what this is about. And that's what this is about. Because that's what God is about. And that's the point. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, there are different pictures that we see up here at the front this morning, that we see in this vision that you gave to Zechariah, but pictures that speak an important theme, that tell us of the seriousness with which you take the things that get in the way of our relationship with you, what it means to live in covenant, that separate us from you, but also the seriousness with which you take removing that and inviting us to understand what it is that you do and have done for us in Christ. And Lord Jesus, as we think of you as our high priest and what you have done for us in taking on what we could not bear ourselves, we then simply want to say thank you. And being reminded of that in these pictures, and now celebrating that in a supper that you have given us, to not only know what you have done, but now to know who we are, we ask that you receive our thanks and hear our praise, because we give it in your name. Amen.